Steve, you have quite a history with forestry. Tell me a little bit about what you've done with forestry.
What have I done with forestry? What has forestry done with me? Actually, I grew up in the Toronto area. I grew up in that urban environment and probably developed an appreciation for natural history when I was a kid fishing in the creeks and streams that no longer exist in the Metro Toronto area anymore. They're all underground. I graduated from the University of Toronto, moved west to Saskatchewan, got involved in forestry programming there, principally silviculture programming, looking at establishing regen surveys, looking at tree planting, managed their nurseries, flipped over and managed all of the aerial photography mapping side of things, and then joined the federal government to negotiate federal-provincial forestry agreements on the prairies. I had a long tenure with the federal government and woke up one day and realized that I could retire. And I did that. And 3 weeks after retiring from the federal government, I came to work for Advanced Education and Technology with the Alberta Forestry Research Institute, which of course morphed into Alberta Innovates BioSolutions.
Well, here you are now at Alberta Innovates BioSolutions, and your job is to advance the bioeconomy. How do you define bioeconomy? What do you see your role as being?
Well, we tend to define bioeconomy from the context of more of bioindustrial development. So we're looking at new opportunities for new products or new processes to be developed for the forest sector and the agriculture sector, because of course in AI bio we look for integration. We're looking at maximizing the value from all fiber, whether ag or forestry, that comes from the province of Alberta.
Can you tell me a bit more about that? How important is forestry and agriculture to this bioeconomy kind of idea?
Well, I would suggest to you that forestry and agriculture have been for many years and continue to be, even if we don't consider the bioeconomy, the bioindustrial side. They have been major contributors to the social development and economic development of the province and still make a sizable contribution to the economic wealth of the province, as well as all of those smaller communities that are dependent on those natural resources and ag resources. How much can they make in terms of a contribution in the future? The world is changing. Everybody is more concerned these days about changing climate, about carbon footprint, about reducing the impact on the environment. And the bioeconomy, as we move into the bioeconomy, we're looking for new opportunities to produce new products that will have less of an impact, less of a footprint on Alberta and the rest of the globe.
What might some of those new products be?
Some of the new products, it's a vast range of bioenergy. Some people interested in bioenergy, getting away from coal, getting away from other petroleum-based materials to generate the electricity that we need. In Alberta, we don't have the luxury of fast-moving rivers to generate our electricity, similar to BC and Quebec and Ontario. But we do have a lot of biomass, and biomass can be combined with coal in our power generation facilities to reduce the impact of producing the electricity we need. Many companies in Alberta, many forest products companies, have moved into the world of generating their own electrical requirements, as well as a little extra to sell into the grid, using biomass residues from their sawmill or their pulp mill, and thereby reducing the overall waste emanating from their facility and making a positive contribution to society.
So you're supposed to be advancing the bioeconomy. What kinds of programs are you offering, either in commercialization or research or whatever? What does that really mean? What do you have to do?
When it comes to advancing the bioeconomy, we have to recognize that there are many ideas out there, and many people in academia have some brilliant ideas as to the direction we should be going and what kind of products we should be looking at. Many entrepreneurs have ideas as well. So the activities of AI Bio tend to span a fairly broad spectrum. We do look at funding research activities, whether in universities or whether in private sector companies or industrial associations. But we also give consideration to the fact that once the idea is developed, it can be very difficult to take that idea into the marketplace. So we have some programs that are focused on assisting with commercialization, helping people get the idea into the marketplace and starting to have an impact on the society that we live in. So it's a broad spectrum of programming. I would suggest to you that it's probably 60% focus on research and 40% focused more on the commercialization application side of things.
Do you have a time frame that you're working in? If you're looking out down the road, are you looking at, say, 2050, and we will, by that time, have more kind of biofuels, for example, that will replace the fossil fuels? Or do you have that kind of a time frame that you're dealing with?
Well, I've been working in the forest sector for approximately 40 years now, so my forward-looking time frame may not be as large as somebody a little younger. No, I'm looking definitely for something a little more immediate in terms of returns. The forest industry, the agricultural industry as well, are cyclical in nature. They have their ups and downs. There are periods where they're making money hand over fist, and they don't need or they don't want to look at anything new. Then other times there's an economic depression, and in fact they're open to more ideas. We've just come through one of those periods with the forest sector in particular, where North American housing all but disintegrated, new housing. Lumber prices fell drastically. Sawmills in Canada had to close. So people were very receptive to looking at alternatives. My preference would be to capitalize on those periods when people are looking for the new idea, looking for that ability to sustain their operation and move quickly into new products and new processes. And I think we do have opportunities to do that. We don't have to look 50 years out. We can do things next week that will have a sizable impact on the economy.
Like what? Give me an example.
Like what? Well, everybody, or maybe not everybody these days, most people are familiar with newspapers. Newspapers are made out of newsprint. That's where you just take a tree and you grind the fiber, grind it up so that you've got individual fibers, which is then processed and formed into a very thin mat. What you don't see when you look at that mat are little crystalline components that are called nanocrystalline cellulose. They're there in every tree that grows. They're there in your newspaper. But those crystalline components have very, very unique properties that will allow them to be used not just in your newsprint, but in potentially in the aircraft that you fly in the future. Because those little crystals have strength properties far greater than Kevlar or steel. They have special electro properties that can allow them to be used as radio receivers and transmitters, as micro batteries. Next time you look at the newspaper, look a little more closely and you might see the future right there in those nanocrystals.
Well, that's actually something that there's a lot of work being done in Alberta on the nanocrystallines. What exactly is happening here that's helping us move forward?
Interest in nanocrystalline cellulose commenced probably about 7 years ago, seven, maybe 8 years ago. And the catalyst for that was a visiting researcher out of the United States. Since then, Alberta people have been working towards ultimately being able to produce nanocrystalline cellulose here for use in a number of different applications. So there has been a chair established at the University of Alberta, a chair in nanotechnology, that has been focused for the last 4 years on classification of nanocrystalline cellulose cellulose, and looking at some first opportunities for applications for nanocrystalline cellulose. The federal and provincial governments have made investment in the development of a pilot plant at Alberta Innovates Tech Futures Mill Woods campus. And there they will be able to produce enough nanocrystalline cellulose for some commercial applications, but also to source researchers that want to look at new opportunities. One of the newest opportunities has to do with enhanced oil recovery. Nanocrystalline cellulose can be used to enhance oil recovery. It can be mixed with water of any quality. It doesn't have to be a potable water. And so it presents a tremendous opportunity for the forest sector to work with the oil and gas sector. And I just like to point out, nanocrystalline cellulose is something not only found in trees, but it's found in many of the ag crops that we produce in this province as well.
Well, that's what's happening in Alberta. How does Alberta stand up to the rest of the world?
Well, we like to think that that we can keep pace with the rest of the world. Admittedly, other parts of the world have been at this game a little longer than Alberta. They have had more financial resources at their disposal. And to some extent, that's a function of the urgency associated with their situations. But they've managed to move forward a little more aggressively in some fields. But we're proud Albertans, but we're not too proud to capitalize on the findings elsewhere in the world and bring those findings to bear here in Alberta and then build on them and make them just that much better. So I would suggest to you that that if we looked at the rest of Canada, Alberta is very well positioned near the top in terms of what we're doing with the bioeconomy. If we look to Europe, no, we're not quite at the same stage as Europe, but we're not far behind. One of the problems that Europe is going to encounter is that they don't have enough biomass to continue to produce all of the various chemicals and uses that they're currently engaged in. They're in a quest for biomass. The goal for us is to ensure that we don't simply give biomass away to the Europeans, but rather encourage them to build new facilities, create new economic opportunity, new jobs in the bioeconomy here in Alberta.
Thank you very much, Steve.
You're most welcome.